You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene Hilton, greeting to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for many, many years, Raising the Standard. So we greet you and welcome you as we do every week. We're honored to be here with you every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And so my wife is usually with me, and so I'm a little concerned in some areas, I guess, in my heart about her because I love her so much. But she had an unusual situation come on in her life, and she had AFib. It's where your pulse bounces back and forth, and she had all kinds of pain. So we went to the emergency room, and they looked at her and really didn't know what it was to start with. They ran all these tests, and everything came back negative. There was nothing that they could see. And so, we looked into it. They found out that she had water in the bag that's around her heart. The water was in the back, and this was what was causing the AFib and also her pain. And so they did a procedure there where they went in. It was kind of a difficult thing for her, but they did it. They run a tube up under her breast and into her up above her heart, and they drained all the water out of her heart, her sac that was around her heart. So they got that all out, and we thought everything was going to be okay. So they still kept her in intensive care. They were looking at her, and it was funny, during the day it wasn't too bad, but she was still in pain, and at night it was terrible what was going on. So they had her on some drugs and all that, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So they finally got it under control with these several drugs that she was taking. So they sent us home on this past Monday, and we got home, and the very first day she got up and she wasn't feeling so hot. And then at night, every night about 3 o'clock in the morning, she was in terrible pain, and she couldn't sleep, and it kept me awake. So I've had very little sleep myself. And so keep me in prayer, and keep Pastor Donna Hilton in prayer. I just ask you and covet your prayers, all of you that listen to the radio program on a regular basis. Just keep her in mind. And so then we had to take her back to the emergency room again. And they still didn't really know. And so they did a cardio, where they go in and they can listen to the fluids in your body and all that. An echocardiogram, I'll get it in a minute. They did one of those, and they noticed as they were doing it that there was a fluid also in her lungs. And so that was the first sign that they noticed real quick. So we went to the hospital, to the emergency room again. And so they did another procedure on her where they went in through her back. They went into her right lung to start with. And they drained the fluid out of her lung. I couldn't believe how much fluid, they told me, came out of her left or her right lung. And so she's still there. And so they're going to do another procedure, it looks like, tomorrow, and they're going to go in the back again, and they're going to take the fluid out of her left lung, and there's a lot. And so when they took out the first group, the AFib kind of fell in place and her heart was doing pretty well. So I believe, and I want you to believe with me as well, that once they get all the fluid out of her lungs, and also it's clear now, they double checked the fluid behind her heart, with that bag that's around the heart, and that's all gone. And so we're going to believe that tomorrow when they do this test and this procedure, that it's going to be clear and she won't have to take all them drugs and we'll be able to come home again. So I just ask you to keep her in prayer. So we've been battling with this now for about over 2 weeks. And so that's why she's not here on the program with me. And I miss her when she's not across the table from me, because we co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida that we have. It's going to be 25 years on January 3rd. God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation chapter 19, 10, verse 10. And so I miss her when she's not here. But anyway, she's here with us in spirit, and she knows what we're trying to accomplish with this program. We're trying to raise the standard, as you heard, the opening statements and all. We use a lot of the Hebraism and the prophetic implications of all the appointed times and all, because they're very important. People look at it kind of lightly sometimes, you know. God gave Israel these seven appointed times as revealed over in Leviticus chapter 23. Basically, there's eight, because the Sabbath is included in it too. But the seven is the key ones. And so I've written a book called the God's Prophetic Calendar and Pictures of the Messiah as Revealed in God's Appointed Times. And I cover all these appointed times, not only showing the historical events that happened back then, but also the prophetic implications to the future. And so this is a very prophetic program. And we do a lot of things, but I just was led today to do something I feel is kind of a prophetic insight to show us some things that's been taught a lot of years. And myself, I haven't come to the place saying, well, that's what this really is. And I think we can look at some scriptures today and prove what God's really telling us. And so that's my plan for the program today. So hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. As I said, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you'd like to get that book I wrote, as I just mentioned, it's $25 plus about $4 for shipping and handling, and I'll be glad to get it out to you. And basically, it's really a college course, and it's very in-depth, and all the scriptures are there, and so many people have been blessed with it. That book is all over the world, different parts. People bought it, and it's been sent all over the world in a lot of different places. And so it's been being used by pastors to teach the prophetic implications of God's appointed times, and they're so important. You notice I said God's appointed times? They're not the Jewish appointed times. They were God's appointed times, and he gave it to the Israel to write it down for you and I in the first covenant. And so we need to glean from all that, and those appointed times are so important. They really are. You know, we start off, well, we have Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then we have Shavuot, or what, Pentecost, and then we go out 6 months into the future, and we come out to the fall appointed times. What do we have there? We have trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it's all covered in that book. And also I put a couple lessons in my book about Hanukkah. There's some misconceptions about Hanukkah that the Lord showed me, and also about Purim. And all those appointed times, the first seven, will be revealed all through Jacob's trouble. Now the other two were not appointed by God. What? Purim and Hanukkah. But God knew what was going to happen in history, and so anyone that challenges what God's doing and coming against his people, he's going to be on the scene immediately, and this is what happened in both of those books as well. So we have that. I have two chapters on Daniel chapter 9 and all of it, and so you can avail yourselves to that. All you have to do is send in an offering for maybe, say, $28 or $29. Make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and the address is Post Office Box 413. It's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip there is 34995. So we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday, and I pray that my precious wife will be back here with me next week. And the ironic thing, and that's why I bound Satan, the day that we took her to the hospital was on July the 8th. It was on a Saturday, and that was our 56th wedding anniversary. What a way to have to spend your 56th wedding anniversary in a hospital. But we take charge over the enemy, and we bind all the works that he's trying to do in this day and this hour. And I hope you agree with me. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, what did he say? He came, he might give us life, and life more abundantly. And it's not about money. It's about everything, the goodness of God in our lives. And so we just keep praying. So we thank you for those prayers, my precious wife, and all those things that we need to do. So we've been a ministry now, as I said up front, it'll be 25 years on January 3rd since we started Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we've had a wonderful time with it. We've met a lot of wonderful people. We've led a lot of people to the Lord over the years. And we've taught a lot of classes on the prophetic aspects of the Word of God. And we kind of overlooked this many times, I think, and we've been robbed. I had a magazine one time. I've had it in my briefcase for maybe 10 years at least now. And it shows a woman on the front cover. And this is a Jewish publication from Messianic Jews. And there's a woman on the cover, and she had a terrible face, like she was screaming. She said, "I've been robbed." And she was robbed. She was robbed of what? Of her Jewish roots. That's what she's been robbed of. And so most of the church has been robbed of that. I've got another book that I've used many times in my studies. It's called Forbidden Knowledge. And the lady that wrote the book, of course, she's passed away now, but she was way ahead of her time. She went through all the seven appointed times in Leviticus chapter 23, and it's what I have in my book, a lot of it. And I didn't get it all from her, but I gleaned some things from her, some of her thought and all that. And so that book, on the cover of it, has a great big old, I would look like it's an old, maybe English Bible, like maybe an old Geneva Bible or something. And it has a chain around it with a big, one of those big Gothic locks on the front of it, you know, and you can't open up the Bible. And so when you flip the book over on the back side, there's a big key that would fit into that lock that was on the front of the book. And it says this, Israel. So that's the prophetic clock. Israel is the barometer of God. And we can watch and see in the world. He has placed Jerusalem in a key place, and he's given it to the Jewish people and also to the body of Christ. They come to Yeshua, the Messiah. Hallelujah. And what happens? We're all one body. That's what it's going to be at the very end. And so it's an incredible little book. And we know that we've been robbed of those things because when Constantine became prime minister, but when he became the Roman emperor and a little before 325 A.D., well, once he came and supposedly had some kind of experience with the Lord, and I don't know whether that's true or not, but this is what he did. And so all of a sudden he made the Roman Empire a Jewish and also Christian nation from that point. And we thought it was going to be Jewish for a while, but we find out that he took all the Jewish things out of the Word of God and replaced them with other things. Like Christmas and like Easter and a lot of other things was changed, and it's been handed down for years and years. And of course that ecumenical group was in 325 AD, and so things kind of went downhill from that point in time because they were taking things out, and they banned the Jewish people from circumcising their boys, from doing the things in the Torah, from having the appointed times. They took all that away from them, and it was terrible what they did. And so God is restoring some things with Israel today, and the church needs to recognize that and know that we need to be a part of it. And a lot of churches have written Israel off. They think God's done with them, and they have a thing now called replacement theology where they try to tell people that the church now has replaced Israel, and that is not true. All you have to do is read Romans chapter 11. It gives you all the answers over there, and so it's amazing. And so I thought about this. Even the great Martin Luther, if the church thinks so much of, you know, he was the one that discovered the 94 or 95 theses that was contrary to what the Bible said with the Catholic Church. And he went and nailed that on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And it's a wonder he didn't get killed at that time, but he didn't. And so he saw this and brought a reformation in the church. But the interesting thing, after this man, Martin Luther, discovered all this, he somehow determined from the Word of God that God was done with Israel also. And he had some terrible things to say about the Jewish people. They should be removed from their homes. They couldn't honor the appointed times and all the things that he did. And so they honor him, but there are some things that's totally, I mean, just incredible. And so I kind of think when I've studied from time to time, what's God going to do with that man? He had a revelation about it. We come to Christ, it's by faith, you know. By faith we come. By faith we come. By the grace of God. He realized that. And you even read about Martin. He used to beat himself up with clubs and whatever he had to try to beat his body into subjection by what the Roman Catholic Church was telling him. Well, he finally realized that a lot of that wasn't true. When he read the Bible, he had a new understanding as the Holy Ghost gave it to him. So when he come out of all that, well, then he realized that it was going to be by grace, huh? The grace of God, and we have to come by faith. And so you kind of wonder what's going on in the world, and not only now, but in the past. And we see this ugly head popping up now with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. You know, they're just criticized, they're lampooned, they made fun of, and everything. And we know that the Bible tells us over Zechariah that Jerusalem was even going to be a stumbling stone in this day and this hour. And we have three groups over there fighting over that. We have what? The Jews, we have the Christians, and we have the Muslims fighting over that. But who does that land belong to? God gave it to the nation of Israel. And so we're seeing more and more Jewish people that are realizing that Yeshua HaMashiach is truly their Messiah. He came for them the first time, and they missed their visitation. But my heart, as I pray all the time, is that they're not going to miss the second one when Yeshua comes back and all that. And so we're thanking the Lord for that. And so I enjoy talking about the prophetic things here on Saturday with you folks that listen every week about the Bible and what God's trying to say. And we know there's hidden truths in the Bible. There's a thing in Hebrew called a sod. The scripture has a hidden meaning way down underneath. But we need to look at the spiritual understanding with all that and ask God to give us the wisdom. He told his 12 disciples what? He says, you've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, you and I that are born again, let's ask Yeshua to come into your life. We also have the ability with the Holy Ghost to understand the deep things of God and all that God wants us to know. And so we need to seek that. Every time I read my Bible, I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, give me a prophetic mind with this. Give me a prophetic mind. And we have the scriptures in the first covenant. I don't like to call it old. It's not old. You know, the Torah is still in place. But when you read the scriptures in the first covenant there, we know that God's talking to Israel. These are all words given to the nation of Israel. But we can glean off of that as the body of Christ because we've been grafted into the natural branch. You know, Israel is the natural branch. And so we have the privilege as the body of Christ to be, hallelujah, to be grafted in to that olive tree, and we're part of that. So one day we'll all come back together when God gets done with his two programs, and we've talked about this a lot. He has a program for Israel going on, and he also has a program for the church, the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile and the Messiah. And so he's going to do that. And Romans chapter 11 shows us what? That he's going to end it with the church first, and then he's going to turn to the nation of Israel and do his work with him. So we have a lot of teachings today of anti-Semitism against Israel completely and replacement theology. And so I bind that and forbid that in Yeshua's name. And we know who we belong to. We belong to the Messiah. And I'm praying that more and more of the Jewish people will bend their knee one day and say, Lord, I know now that you are my Messiah. If they just make a right turn from Malachi and get into the New Testament, they'd find out some things that they never could understand. I've talked to several Jewish people. That's how they got saved, was to turn from Malachi and got a New Testament and begin to read it. And one fellow we know, he was an attorney, he read that, and before he got through with the book of Matthew, he was on his knees asking Yeshua HaMashiach to come into his life and recognized him as his Messiah. So that's what we need to pray for. And this program, you know, we talk to everybody. We talk to the Jews and the Gentiles and maybe some Muslims that listen in. We don't know. But the whole thing is that Jesus said that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes unto the Father except by him. There's no other way. And that's it. And so we do a lot on this program. If you've been listening over the years, I get encouraged. You can hear me. I'm getting excited here talking about it because I love the Jewish people with all my heart, and I want to see them all in the kingdom of God. See, God doesn't want them to go through Jacob's trouble. When you want Jacob's name was changed to Israel, He didn't want them. He don't want them to go through that. But their only way out of getting out of all that is to accept Yeshua HaMashiach as their Messiah, and then they'll escape all these things. Whether you believe in the catching away, the resurrection or not, the Bible says it's going to be here in one day, and so that's what we have to receive. Receive it from the Lord, and then say, hallelujah, I'm after you, Lord. And I want to be a God chaser, not a man chaser. I want to be a man pleaser. I'll say that backwards. I want to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk about something kind of prophetic here today. I've had some struggles with over the years as I studied prophetically, and I spent hours and hours when I wrote my book and all that. I want to go to the book of Malachi to start with you, first of all. And I want to read a couple of verses. And then we're going to wind up over in the New Testament. So let's take a look at this. Chapter 3 of the book of Malachi. This is what Malachi said, as God spoke through him by the Spirit. Behold, God says, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. So how do we escape all that by believing in Yeshua HaMashiach. Now go to chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to start in chapter 4, verse 4, and I'm going to read a couple, three verses with you. Look what the Word of God says. Verse 4, remember ye the law, or the Torah, of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, and with statutes and judgments. This is talking about the Torah that was given at Mount Sinai back in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, 14, through chapter 19. Now, verse 5. Behold, I will send you. Now, he doesn't say messenger here. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, I've had a difficulty with this for a lot of years about the beginning of verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Now, for years, the Jewish people have believed, even if they're Jewish, if they're Seder and all Passover, they believe they set an extra chair out and all that, and a cup, believing that Elijah, one day, the Elijah that was caught off the earth is going to come back and sit in that chair. Well, I got some thoughts about that. You know, when you think about, if God caught somebody off the earth like him and Enoch, is he going to bring Elijah back to this earth? And he's in a supernatural body, put him back in a human body, and then later on, he's going to do this work that we hear read about Elijah, and then God will what? He'll die and go to heaven. I don't see that in the scriptures. So I'm going to go to the New Testament now with you and show you some things that we might know. And see, to me, what Jesus had to say is the most powerful thing we could ever listen to. When he says something, it's the truth, nothing but the truth, and I put it in my heart, and that settles it, okay? So now I'm going to make a right turn here. If more Jews would make a right turn here in Malachi and come into the book of Matthew, they'd have some interesting things to see. Now I'm going to go over for what we're talking about here today. I want to go to Matthew chapter 11 to start with. So if you're at home and you got a Bible, you can turn with me over to Matthew 11, and I'm speaking out of the King James Bible. This is the God's word that he gave us. And this is, I was out of this book for a lot of years, and God convicted me, and I went back to the King James Bible, and I've never been sorry. There's so much in it that we need to understand. And a lot of these other Bibles take things out, add, and all that. And the Bible warns about that, even in Revelation chapter 22. It also talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Do not, he says, do not add anything to the Word of God, or don't take away anything from the Word of God. All right, chapter 11. Now I'm going to read a little bit here, because this is about John the Baptist. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, this is John the Baptist, had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So he was in jail at this time, and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And we could stop right here for a moment, think about this. Now the Jews had a thought for a lot of years that there might be two messiahs. You know, so are there two messiahs? It's what John asked. Well, the answer is no. Remember this. Yeshua came as a suffering servant, okay? And then he came what? As a king, as the Messiah. So we have to keep that in mind. He didn't come at two different times like this. He was one Messiah. He was glory be to God. He was the son of David, and also he fulfilled the Messiah's position as well, as he was talking about King David and all that. So there's going to be two Messiahs, Messiah ben Joseph and Messiah ben David, okay? And so the answer that John got was the answer here is right. There's not going to be two Messiahs. Jesus, Yeshua, will fill both positions in his life, and he's going to do it. He's done most of it already. Okay, and then Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What about him? The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Boy, this is a powerful word, that it's not offended in him. A lot of people got offended in him. Even some of the people that followed him and finally came to Messiah. And when they read and he spoke about what's spoken in John chapter 6 about eating my body and drinking my blood, they thought he was talking about something else because they were in the natural. They did not understand the spiritual realm. And so this is an interesting thing. So remember what this verse up here we just read in verse 3. It's showing us that that Yeshua is going to fulfill both Messiah ben Joseph, who was a suffering servant, and Messiah ben David, as he's going to be a king. So this should be, I hope this is clear to you. It wasn't that John the Baptist didn't understand totally, but this opened his eyes to see what Jesus was telling them. Okay? Now, the next verse we're going to look at is verse 7 in chapter 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning who? John the Baptist. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? The answer there is no. What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? The answer is no. He wasn't. Remember, he wore camel skin, and he had on these loins and all that, and he ate some strange food out there. We know that. And so he didn't come with beautiful clothing and garments and all that. He was in the wilderness all that time, out there listening for God's voice to tell him what to do. Behold, Jesus says, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. John the Baptist was never in a king's house, was he? No. He got in trouble because he questioned what some of the Roman emperors did. And when they married, one king married a woman that he shouldn't have married, and John just, he boldly told him what it was, and what happened? They put him in jail. Now, verse 9. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, he says, yes. I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Now I'm beginning to show you this. Malachi talked about this messenger that was going to come. So listen to all this carefully because we're going to join it together. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So Jesus made this statement right out of Malachi. Now listen to verse 11 now. Verily, he says, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not been a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Greater than who? John the Baptist. So John the Baptist died. He didn't have a chance to be born again like the scriptures show us. But Jesus made a statement that there has not been a man born of woman that hath not risen from a woman, you know, being born, a greater than John the Baptist. And he says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. So all those that were born again, you know, from that point on, all the way to the end, those, he says, are in the kingdom of God, and they're greater. I'm going to read that verse again. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God, or heaven, or God in the other Gospels, is what? Greater than he, than John. Now here's an interesting thing. Verse 12 now. And from the days of John, this is John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Isn't that going on today in America? Our Yeshua, our Messiah, is suffering violence. The church is suffering violence. Things are coming against him. Look at all the stuff going on. Same-sex marriage, abortion, all the things. So the church is suffering what? Violence. But it says the violent will take it by what? By force. That's not with guns and weapons. It's going to be with prayer, anointing to walk in the fullness of God and to declare, cast down all these things, rebuke some of these things that are going on, and that's what we have to do. And so, thank you, Father God, that you and I that are born again are listening, that we are in the kingdom of heaven, and we know the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence over here on this earth, in the Middle East and everywhere else, and the violent will take it by force. For all the prophets, the next verse, and the law, the Torah, prophesied what? Until John. You know, from the book of Malachi to when we went into Matthew, it was approximately 400 years until John the Baptist, God brought him on the scene. Now, verse 14, when God brought John the Baptist, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Now, if you look at your Bible, if you have the proper translation, it says, and if ye will receive it. Now, the it is in italics. So that what the King James says and the Greek says, and if ye will receive, this is Elias, which was for to come. Okay? Now, what's the it here? What have we been talking about through this? We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, okay? So I believe what Matthew wrote here, and by the Spirit of God revealed to you and I today, is this. And if ye will receive what? The kingdom that Jesus talked about. If you receive the kingdom that Jesus came and talked about, this is Elias, which was for to come. So he was the one that came to prepare the way. He was the messenger, okay? Elias, okay? All right? Elijah. And that's what it says, what, in the first covenant that we read. But let me show you something now. There's a question then comes up about who is this John the Baptist? Who is this Elijah or Elisha? Elias or Elijah that we're talking about? Who is this? Is that the Elijah that was caught off the earth and all these years went by? Is that what it's all about? If you will receive it, this is the kingdom. This is Elias, which was for to come. Who is he talking about? He's talking about John the Baptist was the forerunner then, okay? The forerunner. And if ye will receive it, this what? The kingdom. This is Elias, which was for to come. So he's telling us here, alluding to us, that John the Baptist was the Elijah that was going to come and establish the kingdom. The first Elijah came, didn't he? Yeah? And then he was caught off the air. And then we just read Malachi. It said that God was going to send his messenger, singular. And we know this proves it was John the Baptist. Now I want to go over to Matthew. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 17, I think I want to go to. I should have put this in my Bible, and I did. Matthew 17. This answers all these questions, and I'm surprised that somebody in the church hasn't looked at this and said, hey, this is not really the Elijah that was caught off the earth. God's not going to bring him back and put him in a human body again. And he's in a supernatural body now, put him in a human body, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah to come, and then he's going to be killed and be buried and then resurrected in the future. The Bible doesn't say that. And so, you know, when someone's caught off the earth, we don't see any place where someone was caught off the earth, came back, and walked the earth as a human being, and then died, and then was ready for the judgment to come. It doesn't show that anywhere. Chapter 17 is an interesting chapter about John the Baptist, okay? Let's see where I want to start it. Turn your Bible if you're at home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's start in the very first verse. Chapter 17 of Matthew. And after 6 days, I think about these 6 days, this is a picture of the 6,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth, hallelujah, until the day just before the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away, 6,000 years. He taketh Peter, James, and John and his brother and bringing them up into a high mountain apart and was transfigured. He was supernaturally changed before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. So now we have this. God gives Moses, who's been dead a long time, and Elias or Elijah, he was caught to earth years and years ago. So he gives the disciples here, Peter, James, and John, a vision of these three men. Interesting. Talking with him. Now here's the interesting thing. Prophetically, I think what God's showing us here, remember this. This is key. Moses went by the way of the grave. He died. And then we know that Elias or Elijah was what? He was caught off the earth. And then we see here in verse 4, then answered Peter. So then we have Peter, James, and John on this earth alive. So what are we seeing here? We're showing you through this that God is showing us how people are going to get into the kingdom of God. First of all, many will die and receive Christ, and they'll be raised and resurrected out from among the dead at the end of the days here. And then Elias was a picture of those, what? They will be caught away. There's a group of people in the church today that's going to be caught off the earth after the resurrection. They will never see death. They'll be put into a supernatural body. So we have a picture of those that die, picture of those that will be caught off the earth. And then we see then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt let us make here then three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. So all right, so Peter sees this glory over Jesus. The first thing he thought about was the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. And look at verse in chapter 16, verse 28, the last verse before we go into 17. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. All right? So some people, no one on the earth at that time could live long enough in their physical body to be that, to see that at the end when he comes, okay? So what was God saying here? He's given us, with his word, a vision with people, how they're going to be brought into the kingdom of God, these three ways: by death, by being caught away, or going into the kingdom in their mortal bodies after Jacob's trouble. So this is amazing when we see this. And so who are these? He says, I say to you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So these men, who? James, Peter, and John, what happened? They all died. And Jesus hadn't come back yet. So this is a word to the future. Now let's go on in this chapter now. Verse 3 or 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We should hear him every day. This book I have, the Bible, everything in red is what he's had to say. We need to listen and read this. And if you're tuned in with the Holy Ghost, you can hear the voice of God. Many times he's told me, when I wrote this book, I mentioned up front, there was times I got stuck. I just laid my Bible down and I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and the Lord told me where to go and where to look. And this is one thing that I found out when I did this. And so he wants you to learn how to hear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. We want to hear him. Most Christians don't know how to hear God. They think they do, but they don't. They make the wrong decisions. They take the wrong job. They marry the wrong person. All the things that they do. They move to the wrong city. Whatever. So we got to learn how to hear the Spirit of God to speak to us. Because if you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you. And especially if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can learn how, in a greater dimension than ever before, how to hear from God. How do I know that? Acts chapter 2, when the power of the Holy Ghost came upon all those disciples. They were in that upper room, and all what happened? There was something that they didn't know what it was going to be. They were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. They didn't know what it was. And then there was a sudden, hallelujah, glory be to God, that came, and a wind blew into that place, and they saw a little fire setting on everybody, on their shoulders burning, hallelujah. And what happened? They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they needed that, and they went out and turned the world upside down. We got the church today. Most of the church doesn't believe in baptism and Holy Ghost today. Isn't that a shame? But you know, that's the power. That's the dynamo that's in me right now. That's the power. And I believe with all my heart. I mentioned it last week, and I think the week before. I believe that so many Christians that claim to be Christians are backslidden, and they can't walk with God, and they're not doing the things that God would want them to do. I believe it's because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with that evidence of their heavenly language. And God's privilege, and what he privileged for us, was to give us all the baptism of the Holy Ghost so we could go out and accomplish what needs to be done. These 12 men were sent out, and not only them, but a lot of others that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at that time. Even Jesus' mother received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they went out, and they began to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look what happened. They turned the world upside down in 30 years without TV, radio, books, CDs, tapes, and anything else you can think of, just by trusting and believing in the Holy Ghost. He told them where to go and what not to do. Read the book of Acts and see what the Holy Ghost did with Paul and Silas and Barnabas. Then go read it and you can see that. But there's an anointing that comes, and there's a power within us. It's like a dynamo. It's stirring. We have to stir it up. We ask the Lord to show us the things that we need to know about our personal lives, and also things that come. If you read John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, it tells you there that God sent the Holy Ghost to do what? To show us what Jesus was doing in a particular time, and also told you that he would show you things to come. Hallelujah. And you move up, it says that the Holy Ghost was sent to bring what? Judgment, righteousness, and what? And judgment. So what happens? They went out, and they preached the gospel. If the people didn't receive it, well, then they didn't have the righteousness that God wanted to give them. They don't have it. And then what happens? If you don't have it, what's going to happen? At the end, there'll be a judgment. Those that receive it, the judgment will be good. Those that don't receive Christ, well, the judgment's going to be terrible. There's two things. There's two things we got to consider. We want to gain heaven, and we want to shun hell. And that's how we do it. Only way, no other way, is through Yeshua the Messiah. I'll get it out in a minute. I just get excited talking about it. All right? So it says, right, I'm well pleased. And he told the disciples that were there, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. The vision disappeared. You know, God took the vision back at that time. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Well, now, they weren't going to do anything against what the Lord was telling them. So he told them, tell the vision to no man. Don't tell about anybody about it until I'm risen from the dead. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. That's an incredible statement right there. So they had all this excitement. They probably didn't comprehend about him raising from the dead, because some of them didn't believe that he was going to die and be resurrected. But he told them at least three times in the Gospels that was going to happen. He was going to be mistreated, beaten, and he was going to be crucified. So this is an important verse. Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. You know, sometimes God gives us a vision or some kind of revelation. You know, sometimes it's for us personally, and we're not to tell it to anybody else. And then other times he gives you stuff, he wants you to shout it from the housetops, amen? And maybe that vision he gave you was for yourself. Later on down the road, then he might want you to reveal it to the world at large, and especially in the church. So this is very important. Now, verse 10, and his disciples ask him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must come first? Now see, they're questioning him about this. Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? This is an interesting question. And Jesus answered, now listen to this really careful. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias or Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. You hear that? But I say unto you that Elias or Elijah is come already. He's already been here. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So to me, I've read all this. John the Baptist will be the man that will be the messenger and preach the gospel, as we see out in the wilderness and what he did. Amen? Incredible. So I had a problem with this about Elijah coming back to this earth after he was caught off the earth, put into a supernatural body in heaven. This Jesus is proving this to us, that I'm going to read verse 12 again. But I say unto you, I'm looking at these red words, that Elias is come already. He's already been here. Huh? Who's that? John the Baptist. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. You know, they killed him. And a woman had a request in the Bible. The Romans were asking her daughter to dance. And so she wouldn't dance unless they did something for her. What she asked for, I'm just paraphrasing this, she wanted to see John the Baptist's head on a platter. So the Romans sent guards out, and they went and beheaded John the Baptist. So we'll read this again. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. This is John the Baptist. And they knew him not, and have done unto him whatsoever they listed or desired. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. John the Baptist suffered. He says also the Son of Man is going to suffer. What was John the Baptist? He was a messenger that brought and told people about the Messiah. Remember, he saw him coming. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away of the sin of the world. John recognized him by the Spirit. And so what happened? Jesus got baptized, started his ministry, and boy, he had 3.5 years of great work, signs, wonders, and miracles upon the earth. And it never should come to an end. He anointed us. He gave us the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the power and the anointing. And so we walk on that, and we go out. And he told us it was expedient that he go back to be with his Father, because if he didn't, these certain things wouldn't happen. He said, if I go back to my Father, he says, you'll do greater things than I do if I go back to my Father. And they were questioned at that time as well. So what happened? When he when he died. He did. He rose and came and rose from the grave, and they saw him those 50 days before he left the earth again. Well, it was 40 days before he left the earth, and then the 10 days later about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he told them all this. He told them what was going to happen, because he told them in Luke, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. That was it. That was the power they needed to go out and do the work. You know, I got a book called The Book of the Martyrs. And if you read through it, all these great men and women through time, they were put to death, they were flayed, they were sawed into, they were burned at the stake and all, and they never denied the Messiah. They never denied the Messiah. How many Christians today, if they had that choice, would say, I'm going to die, I'm never going to deny my master? That's a tough question, isn't it? So this is amazing when we think about it. And then verse 13, what happened? Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. It was quite clear. It's amazing. Amen? Glory be to God. So this is an important chapter in the Bible, Matthew chapter 17. So I've always thought about this, about the Jewish people setting a plate on the Seder at the Passover season for John the, for a place for Elijah to come back and sit in that place. The scriptures don't say that. And so they've perceived some things from Malachi chapter 4 over there, that Elijah's going to come. There will be an Elijah. But is it going to be the Elijah that was caught off the earth way back? I tell you, I kind of question it. This makes it quite clear. And Jesus said this distinctly, that this was about John the Baptist. He's already been here, and they killed him. And he said, they're going to do the same thing to the Son of Man, and they did. So this is a marvelous review here of what happened with John the Baptist. And Jesus clarifies so much here that we don't have before. And we took you to Matthew chapter 11 about it, that he was a great prophet. I'm going to go back and look at that with you again here for just a moment here. This is very important we look at this. Hallelujah. Let's go back and look at this again. I'm just going to read it again. They were talking about it. Let's just go to verse 7 and read a few more verses. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, this is John the Baptist, what went you out unto the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? He said, absolutely no. What went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? The answer is no. Behold, they that wear soft raiment or clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, John the Baptist. And then he goes down and he quotes out of Malachi, where we had over there in chapter 3. And then he goes down to verse 11. He says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Just, we're in the kingdom of God, and God's telling you and I right here that we're greater than John the Baptist. See, John the Baptist hadn't been born again at this time. He wasn't born again. And so at that time, he was telling the people that you that come will be greater than he. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven or God. And the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law or the Torah prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this means the kingdom, this is Elias, which was to come. Elias? No, this is what? John the Baptist, who filled those shoes as a messenger over there in Malachi. Pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. You know that? So, I mean, I get excited about it. So anyway, it's a thought. And so a lot of people are looking for Elijah to come. The scriptures don't say it's going to be the Elijah that did all those great miracles back in the first covenant. He did his work. If you read over there, in Kings, I believe it is, he was caught off the earth, whisked up into heaven, and he never came back to earth again. But think about it one day in the future. He will come back, like you and I, if we're born again, if we would die or if we don't die. He's going to come back for us. And Elijah will be there. We're going to see all that. And Enoch will be there. We'll see all these wonderful men. Amen. Now I want to show you something else thinking about this prophetically. I want to go to John chapter 11 with you for a moment. This is some interesting things that Jesus said. We know that Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. And let's just read this. And I want to show you what this Holy Word has to say. I'm going to start in chapter 11, verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus had died. And remember, Jesus waited even 4 days because his body was decaying at that time. It was something they thought was totally impossible what happened just after this, okay? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst seen, or if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He's talking about Lazarus now. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, in the future. Jesus said unto her, I am, listen to what this says now, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, the Messiah, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So what's he talking about? He's talking about resurrection. Now, verse 26 is another prophetic word. And whosoever, listen to this, and whosoever liveth, that's alive, and believeth in me, what, when Jesus comes back, shall never die. Believest thou this? This is referring to the what? The resurrection out from among the dead. Verse 25, verse 26 is talking about the catching away. And whosoever liveth or is alive, believe and believeth in me, shall never die. We're going to be caught off the earth. Believeth thou this? Huh? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, The Master has come and called for thee. And so we read through this and we can see some amazing things that Jesus brought forth in this. Now, I'm in John. We're talking about the power of God and the Holy Ghost and all that. I want to go over to John chapter 14 with you for a moment as we prepare to close. I got about 6.5 minutes here. So I hope you're getting something out of this. And if there's someone listening today and you've never met Yeshua, or you've never asked him to come into your life, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. It'll keep you from not going to hell, and you can go to heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, like I said a while ago. If you don't know him, and I'm not mean just talking a little bit about him or seeing some program and believing on Jesus. I'm talking about committing your life to him, walking with him every single day, asking him for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, ask and you shall receive, and walk in the fullness and the power of that, that you can do a great work on the earth to help the Lord bring people in to the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, I'm in chapter 14. Where do I want to start at here? I'm going to start in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. His words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. That's what that word is up here in verse 21. His words, his sayings. And the word which ye heard is not mine. Listen, he says, this is not my word, but the Father's which sent me. Glory. Then 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Wow. But the Comforter, now he's talking about the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Hear this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now listen to this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. And then we go to chapter 16. And he talked about what I talked about a moment ago. Jesus came into the world to bring what? Conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost hears from Jesus. Amen? Now listen to this, verse 14. He shall glorify me. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. For he shall receive of mine, and I shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Comes from the Father to Jesus to the Holy Ghost. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. This is incredible, if we understand the depth of all this. So he's referring to what? That receiving the Holy Ghost, walking in the fullness of that. And I tell people all the time, the Holy Ghost will always, without a doubt, point you to Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. And the Messiah, Yeshua, always points you to who? To his Father, God the Father. Wow. So we have all three of them, the unity of the Godhead, in function, and all with what we will receive. Even being born again, the gifts of the Spirit, all those things, it takes all three. And you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts of the Spirit and all that. So we see how the unity that God has in the Godhead. It's amazing. You know, some of the Bibles don't even use the word Godhead. They call it a divine being or a divine nature. Well, that could be anything. The Godhead is quite clear. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Push, mum, da da ba. So this has been a good time to share this with you. Maybe it'll give you some thought about the depth of the Word of God. So be a brand. Study to see if these things be so. You check it out. You find out what's going on here. Jesus has told us everything that we need to know. All we have to do is be a brand, dig it out and look at it, and we'll find out some things maybe we never knew before. And this is how I wrote this book. My mind was boggled when I found out all the things that I did. So we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday. And pray for my wife, as I mentioned. I pray that she'll be back with me on the radio program next week. And so we honor you. We love you. If you want to call us, our number here is area code 772-285-7007. And we have our church meeting on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And we have our Shabbat on Friday night at 7. So avail yourselves to that. Come and visit and see what we do and all that. And so we're pushing the things that God has in his word. He wants us to know all the Jewish understanding. And when we do, we're going to grow by leaps and bounds. And don't listen to people say, well, that's not for today, or that's been taken out. God's not doing that anymore. God's not healing. God's not baptizing us in the Holy Ghost. He still is. I've got it. You're too late. It's for today. Ask and you shall receive. So we love you. We're honored to be here with you every Saturday. It's a privilege to share the Word of God with all of you. And we trust you got something out of this, as I said. And so have a great day tomorrow in church, wherever you go. And get hungry for the Lord. And as you do, when you get hungry, he's going to reveal it to you. I'm telling you, he'll reveal it if you're hungry. Just think about it. Be so hungry you can't be denied. Amen. So we love you. As I close this program, I tell you every week, and Don and I do, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And we say, God bless you. Have a great day. And remember, if you don't know the Lord, this is the day. Today is the day of the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
We are raising the standard of truth, and we are raising the standard.